My mom told me not to talk to strangers on the internet, but I'm glad I didn't listen. We are the Certified Nunas, your sisters in the love of Asian entertainment.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
I'm Jessie.
I'm Natalia.
And I'm Skye.
And we're all back together again! Yay! that's right, we're back together. Schedules and the stars aligned. And we decided to do, like, a bit of a fun, easy return to the four of us by doing another drama exchange, one of our new favorite things that we've been doing for a little while, except this time, instead of dramas, we went with a movie because it was easier for people to watch It's easier to watch a movie. So the way this worked... Now, we got to give a special shout out to our homegirl, Lucy, because Lucy has enabled us to truly Secret Santa this.
We finally wised up.
Yeah.
We figured out that, like, we can't just, like, have one person in the group pick it because it's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise. So, we don't know. None of us know who picked us. None of us know why. Each of us got a person in secret and then told Lucy what movie we wanted to recommend to them. And then Lucy relayed that information to the four of us, and then we watched the movie, and now we're here to talk about it and try to guess why perhaps it was chosen for us. So.
I wanted to just a side note, because this is applicable for all of us. What's so funny, since we've been podcasting together for over 5 years now, it's very funny to try to sit here and think, like, who picked what for us a little bit, since we know each other's preferences very strong, like, so much, that it is not like, oh, I mean, there will be things that, oh, only this person knows that about me, because, you know, we still have things like that, but as far as when it does sometimes come to these types of recommendations, it does become like, well, everyone kind of knows
these things about me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Amongst the four of us. We do not expect all of our listeners to know all of our preferences. You know, not all of you have been with us for, like, over 5 years. We totally
but
know.
We expect,
like,
each other to. You know?
Like, we've been
together.
We've been together for so long. We know, like, a lot of our icks, a lot of the things that we really like, stuff like that. So it's really, whenever you get a recommendation, like, oh, this is a great recommendation. Like, it's always really good that that's like, how am I going to guess?
I know. Could have been anyone.
Then it almost becomes, what type of person would have watched this? Like, that's almost how you have to narrow it down a little bit.
But sometimes, like, we've had things where it's like, they find one that they haven't watched, but they know from what other people have told them others would enjoy.
Right.
So it's like, that's not even a tell. Like, it can't be like, well, who would have watched this? Like,
just like, if I had had more time, I had even made notes, like, a few weeks ago. I was like, if I had had extra time, I was going to, like, really, like, find something like that. Like, yeah, like, maybe one I hadn't watched, and then, like, really, really get super specific and pre-watch it for the person and make sure that whatever. I didn't have the time. Mm-hmm. But, like, I had to go off of things I already knew, but
yeah,
so people can do that, and then it really throws you off, so you have no idea.
So Skye's going to start us off by telling us about what movie they watched, and then we'll go down the order, and then afterwards, the guessing game begins.
Okay. So juror, it's really podcasting.
Juror's a hard word to
juror,
say.
Juror, J-U-R-O-R, juror 8 is the title of this movie. 2019, you can find it on Viki, at least for US, Canada, I believe, as far as elsewhere. I cannot swear things to you. First of all, I loved it. Like, it was already on my radar. Like, whoever picked it for me, you know me, you know. What I think is really cool about this movie, I'm not always hyper into, like, stuff has to be based on real... I don't have to watch, like, that necessarily. But once in a while, it is, like, really cool to kind of learn easily through a movie about either a historical thing. This isn't really a historical... I mean, I guess it was a historical event, but it's not that long ago. So, it is based on, like, some factual things that did occur within the Korean justice system. So, I'll give you a quick rundown. I'm not even staring at the summary at the moment because, like, I can kind of discuss it pretty quickly. But essentially, in South Korea, trial by jury type stuff did not occur until 2008. And so in 2008, they kind of decided, hey, we're going to start doing this thing. Now, I will preface, and this actually made me realize, I don't even know enough about my justice system, despite the fact that I almost served on, like, a state-level Supreme Jury once. But, like, I kind of realized, I don't know if, in the states, in the U.S., for instance, if a judge ruling has to follow what the jury does, because that kind of becomes a discussion in this movie. So, like, so, as far as when this started occurring in 2008, it, so... The movie is essentially about the first jury trial, criminal trial, in South Korea. And if you've watched 12 Angry Men, like, from classic USA movies back in the day, like, not as tense, but similar. Like, that's if that's your jam. But this is based on a true story. So, like, it's just fascinating because there's a little bit of, there tries to be a little bit PR side, so you can kind of see, like, whoever in the justice system was trying to, you know, get all the media involved, like, hey, this is all the pictures of these are the first jurors and all this stuff. And then they handpicked them, of course, but you can kind of tell they purposefully picked people they thought would be really good. And then, essentially, they booted the eighth one out. And they only have eight, so, like, eight is the total number of jurors. And so then they had to hurry and, like, the main judge gal, like, she was like, nope, you need to get that eighth guy. Like, you need an eighth person. And so they had to hurry, and they ended up with, like, okay, we're gonna pick, and the character name is Kwon Nam-woo, played by Park Hyung-sik. And he's just, like, a normal kind of loser guy who's, like, trying to get a patent, and he's in debt. And he's just very, he's not an airhead, but he's just very normal. Very average man. And he just kind of gets foisted into this, and they kind of know, like, he's maybe not their preferred choice compared to everyone else that they've handpicked. But he gets foisted into it, and it does kind of follow him a little, but it really does follow just the entire process, essentially. It's really fascinating, and it even kind of, it gives you a little bit of glimpses. The main judge, the character name is Kim Jun-gum, I think, played by Moon So-ri. Like, she's great. She's great in everything that she does. But, and then you see a lot of, like, familiar faces, like Johan Chul. Like, he's in every character actor that's, like, in literally everything. But essentially, the trial is about, did this guy really murder his mom with a hammer and throw her over the side of the balcony? Like, did he really do it? And then you kind of get all these flashbacks, and of course you kind of, everyone at first, I'm not going to ruin it, but, like, everyone at first thinks something, and then they kind of, and there's a lot of pressure because no one wants to be deliberating for very long. And if you don't sit here and have a law degree, how do you convince other people that, like, hey, I'm not sure, I'm not really ready to affect someone else's life with my decisions? Anyway, you could call it inspirational. There's even, there's a little bit of comedy in it, like, as far as, there was, like, they do slow-mo once in a while. It's not, like, slapstick. But anyway, some slightly light moments to kind of lighten up things, I suppose. So, it's interesting. Kind of made me wonder. I haven't looked up yet. I want to see who the director is. Screenwriter and director is Hong Sung-hwan. He's also done Public Enemy, Marrying the Mafia 2, Oh My God 2, and Hot Blood. Okay, so nothing along these lines, essentially. But I really, really recommend it. But it would have to be for people that are okay watching. It's a, it, most of it takes place in the courtroom. I mean, it's not like this high action thing. But, and I mean, I do, it doesn't really show gore, but, you know, the typical investigative type stuff. But yeah, I think there was a lot. There's a lot of undertones of, like, even kind of a little bit of facing some classism stuff, like highly educated versus non-educated people, and how that becomes, and then impoverished people, and then like people with money, and just all the judgment that people can throw at each other based on each other's occupations or not. Like, it's interesting, and that's reality for you. So like, I thought it was really good. It's definitely up my alley. It is, I suppose it's kind of heavy, but like, I really did appreciate it. So whoever did it, whoever gave me that recommendation, and always like a good Park Hung-suk moment. Like,
he is never adorable. Go wrong. Like, he is adorable.
Yeah, he's great.
Mm-hmm. So Amanda, what did you watch?
I watched the 2015 Beauty Inside film, starring everybody in Korea as the main
every actor you've ever seen.
Just think of the actor; they're in this.
It's like, okay, and it. So, for anybody who doesn't know the premise of this, there's also a drama. I did not watch the drama. I did watch the film. The premise is the main character wakes up every morning since the day he turned 18. He's woken up every morning in a completely different body. Like, male, female, old, young, child, teenager, like, pretty, not so pretty. Like, he, whatever, everything. Sometimes he doesn't speak Korean because he wakes up in the body of a Japanese person, so now he speaks Japanese. Sometimes he wakes up speaking English or speaking, you know, some Scandinavian language because he is white and blonde, and, you know, it's just very difficult to, you know, he has a closet full of clothes in various sizes and shapes and shoes, and he has a whole kit in his closet of glasses because sometimes he wakes up and he can't see because he needs glasses, so he has to be able to figure out his own prescription every morning so that he can go about life. It's rough. It's not an easy thing. It's hard to make friends when you don't look the same every single day. His mom is very supportive and has helped him through this all, and his best friend is runs a business with him, but he's very alone in that. And one day he meets a woman, and he wants her to be in his life more. But he, you know, I did laugh. He like plans out a whole first date, and then waits for the day that he wakes up looking like Park Seo Joon, and then he's like, "Yes, this is the day. All right, let's go." I really enjoyed the way that they utilized some of that. Like, some of their really heavy-hitting, very attractive actors, they utilized specifically. Like, So Kang Joon shows up at one day, and it's a day when they kind of have a fight or whatever, and they're going, but ultimately, like, there's a really funny moment where they're both kind of laughing because it's like, she wasn't going to waste the, you know, So Kang Joon day. She, like,
like, you don't waste you that day.
Like, yeah. That. I'm coming girl, fair, fair, you know?
Like, I'm really frustrated at you, but...
but they can wait till tomorrow when you're, like, an old man, day. You know? Like, it's fine.
So, it's a really lovely love story. Like, as much as it might sound fun, like, it has funny moments, but it's definitely not a rom-com. It's much more of a serious romantic drama about a very weird occurrence. And just about how stressful that is on him to be always alone and on her to be in this weird relationship and what it does for her relationships outside of that relationship and how, you know, so I did really enjoy it. So whoever picked it for me, good job. I've been meaning to watch it since like ever. And you know, you just, other stuff comes up and you're like, but now I had to watch it. So I finally crossed it off.
Perfect.
Back to it.
And where can we watch that?
I watched it on Viki. According to MDL, it's also all over the place, like on iSheE and a bunch of other stuff. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's out there.
It's one of those, I think it's easy to find. One of those real popular ones. Because the cash might filter in to why it's so popular and easy to find.
I feel like it also just must have, like, had cheap royalties. Because, like, at one point it was free on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, on YouTube's actual movie side, not just, like...
It's on Tubi. It's on Prime. It's
also isn't it a little bit old? Like as far as like age wise, like it kind of starts.
It's a 2015, so yeah, it's it's not.
Guys, that's almost ten years ago. Yeah. Guys, it's only five years old.
Oh wait,
guys.
Yeah, so yeah, it's old. There you go. but yeah, it's fun. It's and I liked that because sometimes he's a woman, and you know, so they deal with. There's probably some things they could have dealt with a little bit more, but it's also not a short movie. Like it's not like 3.5 hours long, but I think it's like 2 hours and change. So like you know, sometimes. You get these and they're like an hour and a half long or whatever, but this was like a solid movie. So they probably delve into some of those things that they could go deeper with in the drama where you've got, you know, 16 hours to go through. So, yeah, but I enjoyed it. It was good. It was fun.
Cool. Nice.
So I was given the 2017 Taiwanese movie We Are Gamely. And it is a comedy about a marriage of convenience situation where a girl who is kind of like down on money, down on her luck, agrees to marry a guy who's gay so that like he can keep up like face in front of his mom, and so his mom doesn't have to keep on like pushing for him to be married and putting him in like, you know, blind dates and that sort of thing. And he gives her money so she's able to like afford things. And in the beginning she's kind of with this like really terrible like boyfriend who really doesn't like treat her good at all. Mm-hmm. And things kind of unravel when the guys who she's married with his mom comes to stay with his twin sister that he's brought things happen.
I'm looking at some of the images right now. Things happen.
I don't want to spoil a lot, but, like, things happen and you can, like, look at the title. it is very much a comedy for most of the the movie until kind of the very end when things start to unravel and, like, I guess kind of spoiler, but, like, whatever. Like, when the mom figures out what happened and, like, kind of the dealing with the son being gay and it just like not being what she envisioned as the relationship for the kids and like how she's dealing with that and just like her general like thoughts about gay people in general. So it does have like a really good arc. However, I will say it is way too much like comedy rom-com for me for the first like probably three-fourths of the film. So I only really got into it when it started to get like really serious, because the mom was very much played up as like kind of like the very intrusive like annoying mom for most of it, and it finally got into where like they were really like actually focusing on like the problems and like what was going on towards the latter half, and I really appreciated that like part. But getting there was kind of like not Jesse, and then Jesse. But like, I do appreciate what they were doing.
It had the Jesse payoff, right? And you're like, oh, thank God. At the very end.
I do think that like a lot of people will enjoy this film though. So like, don't take that as like a, like, don't listen to me. And like, I think a lot of people actually really would like the comedy in this movie. It's just, yeah, just not like what I personally like. But it's got some fun characters, and you do kind of keep up with the same core group for most of it. And it does have like, I will say, like, it does have a very much, it wasn't given much of a budget at all. So I think just like know that going in and allow for things to not be good, cinematography wise or like any of the kind of like standard things just because of that. But if you can get past that and don't let that like take from the like central story, I think you'll be really into this movie. Also, like, it like really, it like had some really great moments, especially when the characters were starting to like really think about things and when it really became more serious than this kind of like fun, you know,
yeah,
hyper thing. It really kind of escalated to that like later half or later part of the movie. And I think it like in that respect, it really wrapped up really nicely towards the end. It's also really easy to find. I found it on YouTube on their like specific channel. And I'm pretty sure I haven't like actually searched, but Gaga Ooh La La has it as well.
Yeah.
So
it seems like something that would definitely be on Gaga Ooh La La.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like, their bread and butter.
Of course really. They're doing it. Yeah. I don't know, like, I don't know Taiwanese actors enough, so I don't know if anybody's, like, super famous. The mom was played by Wang, oh gosh, now I don't know how to pronounce Taiwanese names. Juan? She looks like she's had a very productive career. The guy who plays her son, who is the gay who's married, is Gary Tang, and he is married to an actress, Cheng Mo, and then the sister is Melanie Lee. Some of these people do look familiar, so I think, oh, like, yeah, Melanie Lee is in Love is Science, question mark?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then the guy who is dating the main lead is Andrew Chua. He is, yeah, I was trying to see because he kind of looks like he might be not Taiwanese, but he looks like he was born in Taiwan. He was in Women in Taipei. That makes, yeah, so
interesting.
I enjoyed it. I'm glad that I was able to watch it though, like I probably wouldn't have picked it up otherwise, so that was a really great thing for this whole project.
So, for my movie, I am afraid to say it was the most difficult to locate out of any of these three that I've heard so far. It is only available on a single streaming service that I'm pretty sure, like, 9 people use, and myself included, and that is Plex. Plex is a service where you can stream your own videos, but they also have, like, a limited catalog with ads, and luckily this movie was there. And I'm surprised that it wasn't available for more, because it literally won the 2009 Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. So it's actually surprising to me that it's not available. And that is the Japanese film Departures. So the basic plot is there's this cellist, and he has just bought a real expensive cello. And then discovers, and like, by the way, he kind of lied to his wife about how much the cello cost. And she's real cool about it when she finds out. But he finds out right in the opening scene that his orchestra ran out of money and he's getting fired. And he's like, oh no. And he's like not like first chair or anything. So there's no other orchestras looking to hire him. So he goes home and he's like, ooh, honey, like I 100% lost my job. And she's like, it's okay. Like, I know you just bought that cello, but how long will it take us to like pay off like a million yen? And he's like, 18 million yen. And she's like, okay. So, but luckily for them,
and he survives past that point. I'm just super impressed.
This is like the first 5 minutes, okay? This is the first five minutes, okay? Like, she's real cool about it. Like, real cool in a way no one would be real cool. So, luckily, sort of luckily, I guess, his mother had left them a house when she passed in, like, his hometown in, like, the countryside. So he's like, okay, we'll sell the cello, we'll move and we'll go live in my mom's house, and then I'll find a new job, because his wife works from home. And his wife's like, cool, let's do it. Like, we won't have to pay Tokyo rent anymore. Like, this will be great. We can start over. It'll be great. So they move to the country, and the wife's being real positive about everything happening.
Living life.
So he's like looking for a job. So he's looking in the paper and he sees an ad. And the ad is like, we're looking to hire someone, like, good pay for not that many hours. Like, and the job doesn't, you don't need experience. Like, we'll train you on the job and it's to help with departures. And he's like, oh, a travel agency. Cool. So he goes to, like, interview, and it's just, like, this one sassy receptionist lady and this old man who, like, in this nondescript building. And he's like, the old man's like, I like your vibe. You're hired. And the guy's like, what do we do here? Like, this is great. I'm so glad I'm hired. And he's like, oh, like, we encoffin people. Like, we prepare the bodies to go be cremated. And he's like, it's not a travel agency? And he, like, pulls out the ad, and he's like, ooh, that's a typo. It should have said the departed. Like, we work with the departed, not departures. And so he then goes home, and his wife's like, how'd the interview go? And he's like, oh, it was good. I got the job. It's not at a travel agency. She's like, oh, what is it? He goes, oh, it's, like, ceremonies and stuff. And she's like, oh, well, like, maybe you can pay, like, you still have, like, your cello from high school. Like, maybe you can play the cello for, at weddings and stuff. He's like, yeah, at weddings. Sure.
Has he not learned the don't lie aspect of
that? No, and this does come back to haunt him briefly later on. So then he begins his new career, basically preparing bodies to go into coffins that then get transported to the, you know, the crematorium. And it's very moving because he sees all sorts of different, like, you know, people in the end of their life, like, you know, in their, just when he shows up, it's like the bodies are already laid out. And then they, you know, they wash the body and, you know, dress it and put the makeup on them, put them in. And, but you do this while the entire family sits and watches you. So it's like a real high stress situation. Yeah. So you, and anyway, and it just shows like all these different, like, funerals that happen and like these different families, and like it's funny and sad and moving, and then everyone in town might or might not find out what his job is, and apparently it's kind of a job that's like frowned upon, which led me to like a big discussion I was having with my husband while I was watching it, which is that this is a job that's a necessary job in society, but it's one that like people like to look down on people who do it. And that's actually a central theme of, like, the whole show, is that everyone he meets, besides the two people he work with, look down on his new job until they need his services. And suddenly they realize the, you know, import of someone willing to do this. It was an incredibly good movie. It was an incredibly good movie. I will say, if you do go to watch it on Plex, the ads are a bit disruptive, and it's like, it's one of those vibes. Like, it'll like, because like, it's not one, like, you know how sometimes on some streaming services that have ads, they'll like time it so that it'll be on like scene breaks or something, like a commercial. They don't do that here. They just bust in when whatever. So I'd always be like, oh yes, please tell me how Plex now has Broadchurch. I'm so excited about this. But it was really good. It's a bit of a longer movie. It was 2 hours and 10 minutes. So it's like a bit of a longer one, but like very much worth it. Like really excellent film. Like really good. Deserved that Oscar. And the actors were incredible. I don't recognize any of them. But like absolutely fantastic. Cannot recommend it enough. And I think maybe people should start requesting that some other less obtrusive streaming services that more people have heard of pick it up, because it was really quite excellent. Really quite excellent. A+.
Cool.
And now that we've talked about everything that we watched, now the guessing game begins, where they guess and then the person guesses up and says why they picked it.
Also, one thing I also forgot to bring up when we were talking about this earlier was the reality is we could all go look at each other's, like, what we've watched list and really figure out who has watched these.
But we don't, we're honest people.
The only way we're looking at our each other's list for this is really, like, to recommend it, not to, like, figure out.
Like, we look at the person whose list we got to make sure.
Yeah, look at that completed.
And let me tell you. Sky knows this because I was talking to her while I did it. The day before Lucy did this, I was going through and adding. I had not added
a lot.
I had not added like a billion movies I had watched. My list went from, I think, like, what was it, like 78 to like 140 or something. I was like, okay, keep going. We got to add all. I'm like, look, I don't want to lead people astray and like actually have to recommend multiple movies. But yeah. We were very honest. None of us investigated.
That's very nice
anything.
You did that. But then, you know, it still sometimes happens when you're looking at a big list, like what I did to you. Like, even though I talked to you about the drama that I read anyway,
we watched it together.
It's fine.
All right, Sky. Who do you think?
Oh golly, off the top of my head, because like. The thing is, I know Natalia's watched a bazillion and a half movies, so, like, it could always be Natalia, like, could be, but I really think Jesse, like, is my guess, just because, I don't know, I felt like she would know that would be my type of movie, like, but all of you would, I can see Jesse watching a movie like that, like, if she was in a watching movie, like, I can see her going for something like that. So that was, like I said, actually, like, it's pretty low-hanging sky fruit, so, like, the reality is, like...
Well, Sky, I think you should have gone with your first anticipation, because it was me! I picked it for you! Now, the day before, I was like, okay... I was like, Juror 8. But I had watched it the year it came out. And then I was like, what if it wasn't as good as I remember it being?
That's always the problem.
I hate that doubt so much.
So right? I went back that night and rewatched Juror 8.
Oh my gosh.
To make sure. And I was like, oh yeah, Sky's gonna like this. So yeah, that I picked it because, like, I know that, like, you love things like Hyena and Lawless Lawyer and all that. And it's like that without the, you know, the organized crime bit. And you do like stories that, like, involve, like, disenfranchised people in society. And that's very much the case in this. And you like Park Young-sik. So, like, easy sell.
easy sell
with Park Young-sik. Let me tell you.
Well, I mean, so, basically, when she said, I watched Juror 8, I was like, yes, of course. Of course somebody picked that first guy. Why would they not? Like, yes.
And in case, just catching the listeners up, like, in case you've joined us, a few years back, I realized if a lawyer is in the drama or, like, I'm probably eventually, there's still a lot I have not checked out. Like, I have a limited amount of time. But... it's usually, like, on my radar on some level. Like, a lawyer character? Okay, it's on my radar. Why? Because they're really good communicators, usually. Like, that's they have fascinating stories. So, like...
I must say, I did enjoy, upon rewatch, I did really enjoy the defense attorney in this, who didn't think he was actually having a defense case. because he thought he was just there, like, the guy pled guilty to, like, get sentencing, yeah. and then suddenly he's like, wait, you tell me I have to actually defend him? like, the panic sets in. It's a good movie. I think people should watch it. It's fun.
Just,
it's
fun, so, like, another movie. Just another side note, like, as far as the guy who's under trial, like, he's played by, a guy that played one of the, not like main characters, but a big side character in Flower of Evil, and he was great in that. So, like, he's kind of a side character type actor that pops up a lot, and he's just always great. He was also in, dagnabbit, we talked about it lately. The fact that I can't remember this. Oh! The Assassin movie. Show. The drama. Assassins.
Shop for Killers.
Shop for Killers. Shop for Killers. He was one of the assassins. Imagine it.
He was the douchebag sniper. He was the douchebag sniper.
He always like has a really strong character. His character that's under trial also like he has burns all over. Like, I mean, he just played the character, so he's really good at like agony. Really, like, he's just really good at that type of stuff. So
It's a strangely moving film as you get through it. Like when you find out like what actually happened, I'm not gonna say what it was. It's like it's actually like okay.
I'm gonna just go on a little side note. This does not spoil a thing. I believe that there's this little tiny character in this movie, and to me it's like a supernatural type character, but like they never go into it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch it, get back with me, see if you think the same thing, because that's that. As far as, does it have to do with the plot? No, like, it doesn't. No. It's not a fantasy movie, it's not. But, like, I was like,
it's just a cheeky little cameo, you know? Like, a cheeky little aside.
Yeah. So. How about you, Amanda?
I don't know. Again, I feel like everybody other than me has watched some iteration of this. So, like, anybody liked it, too.
That's the worst part.
Could be anybody. but I know now that it's not Natalia.
Yeah, you knocked that out.
No. You could admit you thought it was me. Like, you could have been like, initially I thought it was Natalia, but now I know it's not.
Be honest, I, right from, pretty much from the moment Lucy sent it to me, I thought, I bet it's Sky. I don't know why, but I was just like, I feel like Sky really loves this story a lot. Like, feel like she's talked about it a fair bit. So I was like, I feel like Sky. That would be my guess. So.
Yeah, so I never miss a chance to talk about Beauty and Sky.
That's what you were saying. You're just like, so it was me.
It's one of those things. I kind of have a little roster of like faves. Now, am I going to force all you ladies to watch all of my like faves? No, but sometimes I'm like, have they watched this one though? They should. So Beauty and Side.
The perfect opportunity, it, like, comes along.
And you know what? Probably the thing that threw a little bit of doubt into my mind as to whether it was Sky or not was that I'm in my anime phase right now, and I feel like there is a movie, there's, like, an anime-type movie on Netflix or something that Sky has talked about a fair bit in the last little while, and it was like, maybe she would have recommended that. So maybe this is like the red herring, you know?
Sky is also really busy these days, so had to look at just what was,
what came to the top of the mind immediately.
What screamed Amanda from the things that I've watched on my list.
I like it. Screams Amanda. Check.
Check if she's seen it. Oh, look. Beauty Inside. But really, Beauty Inside, because there are some dramas, there are some movies that's like, I kind of the easy sell for almost everybody type thing. And I'm not saying that cancels out my recommendation to Amanda in particular. I knew that Amanda in particular would appreciate all the people in it.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of artsy. Like,
it is.
It's a very pretty movie. Like, not as far as landscapes necessarily, but just, like, it's artsy, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So.
I like the way they do the little, like, collage-y scenes of, like, him getting up in the morning and, you know, going to the bathroom to brush his teeth and stuff, and like, showing it in all these different people doing the same thing. I like it. Those were some neat scenes. I, like, enjoyed that. So, yeah, it does definitely have an artsy kind of vibe to it.
So,
good choice.
And I recommend Beauty Inside the Drama too for anybody that wants to go check. It is they're pretty different, but like as far as it's still like if the movie fascinates you, the drama's worth a look.
Mm-hmm.
But I do the vibes are totally different. Like
yeah,
but the drama is not art house by any means.
The fantasy is the fantasy still the same. It's just switched the main person's gender.
Yeah, so like main person's a gal, or sometimes a gal.
Sometimes
feels like her original
self was a woman, and she actually goes back to being her original self every once in a while too. So,
So side note about the drama, I won't talk about it a lot, but also the fact that the character that changes bodies and stuff is an actress, like. That's like an added level to like it being a fascinating thing. And then as far as like the other main, like the love interest character, like he's Chabal type, like a CEO type. And so like highly visible, like it's not like she's hiding in some little furniture, like away from it. She's an actress. So like it's a big deal, like if she's able to go on her public appearances or not and all this stuff. So like that was a level of difficulty to it.
And he has face blindness, so he wouldn't care what he looked like anyway.
Funny because it was like the time for face blindness.
Everyone had face blindness.
This like setup was so perfect for that.
It was a perfect shoehorn for face blindness. Like this one, yes. Beauty Inside should have face blindness involved. But I'm glad you liked it. I do recommend it to like pretty much everybody. I recommend Juror 8 to like most people too, but I just know some people would be like, wow, we're still in a courtroom. Whoa. Like I know that's not necessarily
it's literally about the first jury trial. Of course you're gonna be in a courtroom.
But also when I turned
still super like beloved and stuff. Sometimes just a good story, right?
No.
Yeah. So how about you, Jessie?
What did you think it was?
Well, here's the thing. I know Amanda watched it. I'm sorry. But like, you know what? She did it on a podcast episode.
And also, like, in Jessie's defense, when you go to my drama list and you look up the show, the top review is from Amanda. So that kind of might have given it away.
Granted, I did not look at any of the reviews. I only checked to make sure like it was in the right country in the right year when I went to YouTube because I was like worried it was gonna be different. Because also on YouTube, it does like the way that they title it makes it sound like it like I can't remember exactly the wording, but like to me it made it sound like it was a drama first and they just compiled all the episodes to like the movie version or something like that. So it's like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Is this really it? And so like it confirmed. When I didn't scroll down until I actually finished.
If it was available anywhere, I saw it on YouTube and I did sort of like fast forward through because you're right, it's the way it's labeled on YouTube is weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe this isn't what I was thinking it is. But then I sort of got to parts of it, like, but.
Yeah, I think it was just like weird translation on their part because it's like, it's hard uploaded too. So it's not even like using YouTube subtitles in it.
The hard
stuff. Yeah, but it's like done by the actual company. So. Yeah.
And it's been many years since I watched it. So I watched it time ago and and I watched it with my sister and I just remember really enjoying it and I remember a lot of the stuff I think like the second half type stuff
the second half really turns.
I was like I did not remember it being as heavily I remember it being funny but not like I think the second half mm-hmm. sort of fits yeah. with me more. So
yeah.
I also feel like perhaps the overlap of movies Amanda has seen and like that Jesse might like is very little. So like there's like a very small Venn diagram. So like you know, limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
no, but I feel like every Taiwanese like
we haven't
project we've seen, liked. Right? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So like I feel like the things where we overlap, we've probably both already watched them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like that's yeah. kind of tends to be the thing. Like, and I'm thinking, like, whenever I get Jesse's name, I'm like, okay, I'm going to come up with some horror that, like, out of my non-existent, you know, that she hasn't seen. There's a lot on that list. She has seen a lot. Yeah. So it's like,
But you know, Amanda, that would be the perfect, like,
That would be like, the rude.
Misdirect, because then yeah. she'd be like, well, it must have been Natalia.
Yeah.
Like who else would have watched this?
It would be one of those that I did not watch this, but it looked like it could be.
You might like it.
It's kind of like when I picked Beauty Inside, I had given up on trying to be sneaky. I was like,
there you go.
You're gonna like it, so here you go.
It's actually kind of funny because at the beginning of this episode, when I was like, "Oh, maybe we haven't seen it," it was only to throw Sky off because I feel like only her and I would have watched Juror 8. So I was like, "I gotta throw her off. I gotta make it seem like it could have been anyone who picked it."
She'll I don't think anybody know. Could watch Juror 8.
No, I mean, like, but I feel like perhaps on this podcast, it would have only been you and me who had. You know, as of this moment had been.
It,
exactly, yeah. exactly.
Mm. Like, oh, let me pick out Juror 8 to go
yeah.
for fun.
Now, it is, since I'm the last, I do know Jesse picked it for me. But I'll tell you, I initially thought it would either be Amanda or Jesse. Okay. Sky, I was like, nah, this isn't one. Sky would have recommended like, some comedic to me. Like, I know what's up. So here was my thought. For Jesse, I was like,
Japanese.
J-drama, yeah. like an older J-drama. Like, she knows I like that. She likes that. Like, the crossings.
Uh-huh.
But for Amanda, this was my thought. Okay, Amanda knows that the only ever drama that has ever made Natalia cry was Moved to Heaven. And I was like, she would have wanted to attempt that same thing again by finding a show that, like, finding a movie with a similar concept. But this didn't make me cry. It was a lot more heartfelt, less mm-hmm. sad. But I figured it was one of y'all, too, but...
yeah, it was me.
It was you.
I find it fascinating that you did, because like I think you're the one that said to me, like, you've kind of noticed I have a theme about death, like death themed things. And so like I find it interesting that you didn't guess that it was me because
Sky, you also know that I've been watching a lot of C drama rom coms lately.
Yeah, and I would have
found
something.
So I feel
like
you would have found something more like in line with what I've currently been watching.
True.
Listen. This is why I was like, it wasn't Sky. I saw it, I was like, not Sky. Shuffle
Here's
around.
The thing. I had a bunch of movies to like that I wanted to give you, but mm-hmm. you wouldn't even question it was like who it was.
Yeah.
Like you would not even question. You'd be like, this is Jesse.
That was Jesse.
So like, yeah, I couldn't do any of those.
This was a good one because legit, those were my two thoughts.
Here's literally what I did. I was like, I'm going to pick something and I don't even care if I have watched it or not. I'm just going to go on vibes on the like what it's talked about. And then I was like, maybe I should narrow it down. And I was like, let's narrow it down to what people think are the best Asian films of all time that you need to watch and make Natalia watch something off of that list. And I read the synopsis and I was like, this feels like Natalia. And I also looked and saw that it won the award, so I figured it would be okay to find anywhere. Because you could probably
you
buy a Blu-ray.
You would think. For best Asian movies that you should watch, they're really making you go on a treasure hunt for.
I know.
Plex,
but like, also,
really?
This movie was the first Japanese movie to ever win in that category. At that point, the only Japanese movies that had been winning, like, the awards were for animation. This is the first time, like, Japan has won in that. So it's, like, a huge movie in that, like, respect, too. And I was like, for sure. And I was, like, joking with Lucy, and I was like, she'll find it.
Well, no, because when I, like, I had sent Lucy Sky, and I said, oh, it's this on Viki. And then Lucy sent back, she goes, and I they assume you can find it. I am the one in this podcast known for being able
to. But, like, I also didn't think it was going to be that, like, hard. I also picked it because I was like, figured that you would be able to find it even, like, as a physical, like, movie thing. Like, that it would be showing up on, like, normal streaming sites that are about films.
Yeah. Mm.
So.
Yeah.
I even went to Just Watch, okay? Just Watch was how I discovered it was on Plex. I was like, oh, Just Watch, you've done it again.
Well, I wonder if it's like... Because
it said it was on Tubi, and so I clicked the little, like, go to Tubi, and it was like, click this to send you an email when it's available. And I was like, Tubi, you foiled me again.
Because of Canada.
I don't know if it's on Tubi in America. It's not on Tubi in Canada. But, it is on Plex in Canada, which has a very similar viewing experience to Tubi the ads.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
Except that it's funny because most of the ads are for shows that are on Plex, because if Plex is like, listen, guys, listen, we're also a streaming service. I know none of you use us for that.
Oh, on here it says it's on Apple TV.
Mm.
They're a streamer.
It's not.
So.
Well, it wasn't on.
But, like, last for anybody who wants to watch it and is in the U.S., potentially that's your spot. Mm. That's not Prime.
Yeah, but like, it is Lucy, on Plex.
Like,
so.
Lucy was like, "Here, Natalia is yours," and I was like, "The hardest one, come on!"
Yes. I had Natalia for the drama exchange twice in a row, man.
There were so many dramas. Like, there were so many movies that I wanted to give Natalia, and I was like, but no one would even think to do it except for me. Like, nobody on this podcast is going to pick House instead of me. Like, it's just not going to happen. And I was like, I can't do that. So then I had to, like, do something else. Whatever.
For anyone who's, like, listening, this might be the first episode you're listening to, who's curious as to why I'm the most difficult, it's not because I have, like, really high standards for what
you're limited in your genre watching.
I'm not limited in anything, but I've seen a billion things and I like everything, which actually, like, the
net is too wide.
It's too wide.
Yeah.
So, and then it's like, I can't pick something that it was the, like, you know, that I would like, because then she'll know it was me. And, like, so I'm like, I'm the horrible one to get. Every time we do these, I think, I can't wait for the next one. And don't worry, there might be one coming up in the next couple months that's a little different, but a little the same.
It could be fun to do with, like, more, like mini-series. Like, it's nice when it's smaller.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Yeah.
That was kind of, like, the charm of the movie thing. Like, okay, 2-ish hours, like, investment.
I think, so, like, also, like, yes, we do watch a good amount of movies, but I still, like, it's not comparative to, like, dramas. Like, Natalia was hard, but, like, not actually hard. Like, it was more of hard to keep it, like, so, like, I didn't, like, just out myself immediately. Because it's, like, it's, we all, like, collectively don't prioritize movies over dramas. So it was, like, a little bit easier in that respect because you had more, like, leeway into, like, figuring out what you want to pick, which was kind of nice, because I think the drama thing was really, like sometimes I'm like, I don't know, and I'm like going through, I'm like, I don't know.
So that was another drama exchange, aka the movie exchange. Thank you for listening to us. We have to come back for another episode next week, because we got quite a big one coming next week. So thank you for listening to us. We are wherever podcasts can be found, as well as on YouTube, where we now are in video for several months now. So if you're on YouTube, thanks for watching us. Please like and subscribe. They're watching your avatar, you know. Her camera's not functioning today. It's fine. Don't worry about it. So anyway, you can find us wherever podcasts can be found, but you can also go to our website, certifiednewness.com, to see every episode we've ever done in the past over 5 years, with links and time codes, and it's wild. It's a wild time over there on CertifiedNudist.com. And if you want to join the many wonderful members of our found family to support this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/CertifiedNunez and do so. Our found family is the best. We love them. They get extra little mini episodes. They get movie night every month. It's good times. We have a good time with the found family, and we literally love every single one of them. They're the best. Anyway, thank you for listening to us. We will be back next week with another episode. And as always, don't forget to wash your hands, wear a mask, and keep enjoying Asian entertainment. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.